T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Pirates are in first place. They are. It's a fact. I don't care by how many games or half games, and I don't care who they beat last night, how they beat them or anything else. I care that I woke up and they're in first place. Sean, don't call me Seth Meyers. Are you of the same mind?
Yeah, I think we asked maybe last Monday or Tuesday, would they even get one game over 500 again?
That's right. And then we asked five, would they get five games over?
And they're
all
five
of us.
Now, right?
Yes. All of us quickly said no. And yet we still want to complain about winning. Like I said, if the Pirates have reached that place, that's Penguin-Steeler territory, where even the wins aren't good enough. For good reason sometimes. But man, if the Pirates are there already, what a wonderful place to be. And what a wonderful man we have on the line, the Nemecolon fan hotline. Nemecolon around every corner creates real-life magic for guests. It's Dr. Jason Mackey. From the Post-Gazette, he covers the Pirates. Jason, that game last night was extremely frustrating, but to my way of thinking, man, once you chalk up a W, I agree with Hedges. You're going to have to win those games if you want to get where you want to go.
Absolutely, Joe. Absolutely. Last night was one of the uglier games I've covered on this beat. It really was. Nobody could throw a strike. Pirates pitchers kept hitting people, all kinds of plays that you could go back and watch the tape, and you're wondering, why did the A's right fielder throw to third base and not go after the out at home? It was a go-ahead run. Like, I can't wrap my mind around it, but normally in those situations, or the past couple years in those situations, the Pirates have seemingly found ways to lose that game. They've found ways to try too hard, to try to do too much, to not be patient enough to take walks. I think Exhibit A was probably Andrew McCutchen, where he's three hits away from 2,000 for his career. Overswing. Kutch didn't do it. And so they don't all have to be Picassos. They don't all have to be Mozarts if you're Phil Cowher. But I'm glad they figured it out last night and didn't screw it up.
Let's talk about the bullpen last night. How do you think Shelty managed it? Did he have other options? Did he manage a good game from the bullpen perspective?
I actually liked it, Joe, and I liked it. I mean, you have to give David Bednar the day off. Colin Holt will fill in. I'm completely fine there. Zastrzyzny needs to pitch, and I think what they probably tried to do is, you know, get some guys a day and make sure they're fresh for the rest of the series. You hope Zastrzyzny can get through a not-so-great Athletics lineup. He's had some troubles of late, and I don't know what happens there, but I didn't have any issue with the move, and now you can come back tonight. And you have Keller on the mound. You have Bednar fresh. Johan Ramirez, as Shelton said, has been in crinkulent. Quite impressive there. Does is fresh as well. Dari Moretta, another one. So you basically preserved your biggest weapons in the bullpen while still managing to win a game. I didn't have any issues with what he did. You know, Holderman's been kind of weird. He's either been, like, completely dominant or a little bit leaky. There hasn't been much in between, but I don't have any issue giving him the save chance.
Well, let's get to the important stuff. Did you know immediately what was happening when? And did you ask the question, by the way, when Shelty dropped the increnculant the other day?
I didn't ask the question. That was Andrew Destin, our wonderful colleague.
He was destined for greatness on that one. And did you know what was happening?
No, I did not. I did not. Now, I know that Shelton really likes you guys and likes the back and forth, but I didn't have any heads up that he was going to drop an increnculant on you.
Did you know what word he had said, or were you like taking notes and you said, what? What did he just, how did that all go down
for you?
No.
I knew exactly when he said it,
yeah,
what he was doing and what he was going for. And he mispronounced it.
I think he did. You guys talked about that, right?
Yeah,
we're going to have to talk about that today as well. I'm going to have to correct him on that. Although we were talking in here, myself and Sean, don't call me Seth Meyers, about whether this could be the first malleable word in history where it can have many different meanings and many different pronunciations. What's your working definition in your head of increnculent? Do you know what it means, Jason?
Yeah, so I was talking about this with my wife a little bit ago, and she's like, what does increnculent mean? And I was like, I think it's sort of meant to mean incredible, extraordinary, like some hybrid
yes,
of that.
Exactly.
Is there a root in incredulous, though, Joe? Like, is that any part of it?
Sure.
Is that where you're getting the incra?
The incra is from, it's a combination of incredible and excellent, increnculent. But certainly so amazing that one would be incredulous at the mere sight of it. Yes, I think incredulous fits in there as well.
I like it. I mean, I'm on team increnculent, Joe.
So
I really
am. Have you heard about the boycott?
I have. Crowley's wrong,
Crowley's
as he is
boycott.
About most things.
Yeah.
you know, I think it's a waste of time and energy, frankly. I am on team increnculent, and however I can help, please let me know.
You could help by putting it in your story, but I guess Andrew Destin did that day, and I don't know. Maybe I'll retire the word, or maybe I'll pursue it. It's amazing that the manager of the Pittsburgh Pirates, after sweeping the St. Louis Cardinals, clearly had increnculent on his mind and was going to say it no matter what at that news conference.
It is incredible.
It's increnculent,
on, you know?
Actually. Yeah.
It's increnculent. You know what, though? In all seriousness, I will throw this out there as an argument with that.
Yeah.
This team is so darn fun when it wins. It really is. Like, May was depressing and stupid and frustrating for a lot of people, most notably the Pirates. June has been a lot better. April was terrific. I think this team is this – ties into what you were saying at the top of the segment. I mean, they're in first place. They're winning games. They're interesting. They're exciting. They're fun. This sort of stuff happens routinely whenever they're actually winning games.
I'll tell you who I'm having fun watching. Maybe, let me not think about this. I'm not going to edit it. Jiwon Bae is one of the most enjoyable players to watch that I've seen in a long time. He is a phenomenal center fielder with no regard for his body out there. That's actually become part of analytics in later years. Oh, you never want to run into a fence. Why is that worth it? To catch the blanking ball. That's why you want to run into a fence. And he's not afraid to do it. He's phenomenal out there. He is.
He really is. And it's kind of changed the calculus with how they have to use their outfielders. Jack Sawinski has struggled left on left. Jiwon Bae has been very good in that situation. Very good overall. I mean, he's their best defensive outfielder. I don't think I'm breaking any news there. You need to get him in there more. And, I mean, frankly, Joe, he spent all of May hitting. I think he hit 304 in the month, best on the team. You know, they've calmed him down on the bases. That was the only reason he's out of the lineup. And his swings, you saw Bae, he hit that walk-off in Boston, and I think it was a little bit detrimental to him where he thought, like, there was going to be this power. Forget it, dude. Just put the ball on the ground and leg it out. And no, I sound like Lou Brown in Major League, but a little bit of it is true. He's so darn fast. Just make contact. And Shelby talked about that. I think it was after Saturday's game that they sort of got him to dial it back, the defense, because I agree with you. It's been spectacular in center field. Just don't make stupid decisions on the bases and don't swing out of your shoes at the plate. Just put the bat on the ball.
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, for people who don't believe that defense and offense can be weighed equally, I think he's literally won them a couple of games lately with ridiculous catches that maybe, I don't know, 10% of the guys in Major League Baseball make, maybe less. But speaking of that, Key Brian Hayes, we've had that conversation. How much do you weigh his defense? How valuable is he? Well, now he's starting to hit. What has been the key? Has he changed his approach?
Yeah, so he reintegrated a toe tap, something he did a little bit earlier. And I mean, it's not changing his swing or approach. Like, he's still efforting more toward launch angle. He knows that he needs to lift the ball or whatever. What that does, though, it puts him into a rhythm. And for me, Hayes is more of a feel hitter than a lot of guys out there. Like, he's tried to drill into the nuance of it, and he's at his best honestly, when it's simple, when it's rhythmic, when he's, you know, you can see very clearly he's on time. And I think that's what they got back to in San Francisco. He took a day, worked with Andy Haynes, came back, and it was a more free, more easy swing than we've seen out of him in quite some time. His pitch selection's fine. He hits the ball hard. I know people get tired of hearing that, but you can like look under the hood and find a bunch of metrics to prop him up as a decent hitter. Now, he's not hitting well. He's not hitting for power. But what we've seen since that Giants series, especially over the weekend, like he's driving the ball. He's getting lost. All these nerdy hitting things that basically says, don't pound the ball into the ground every time. He's doing that. And I think he's getting to that, Joe, because of the timing mechanism in his swing.
Jason Mackey on the Nemecolon Fan Hotline. Twitter brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram in Peters Township. Visit him online at southhillsjeep.com. You can text us on the Edgar Snyder & Associates fan text line, 412-928-9370. Edgar Snyder & Associates reminds you to text responsibly. So I've asked you this many times, but things change by the week, and a lot of times it's who's hot. Who's next from AAA? Who's coming up here to give this team maybe a jolt, whether it be a pitcher or a hitter? And
yeah,
when?
Yeah, and I don't have a sense that anything is close, Joe. You know, and I know that might be disappointing to some people, but listening to Ben Cherington talk yesterday, already what I know on background, they want to give Andy Rodriguez and Henry Davis a chance to play together and work that out. Right now, if you look at their middle infield situation, Tucapita Marcano, Rodolfo Castro, G1 Bay, it's been a rotation and it's frankly been pretty good. So I don't know when you bring one of those guys up. Now, that being said, over his past five or so, Andy Rodriguez has been very good. If he catches fire over the next 2 weeks, you'll be past the Super 2 deadline, and they might think about it then, and then you figure out what you do. Maybe you carry three catchers or whatever. So if you made me answer, I'm not trying to duck the question, I think it's Andy. But I don't think it's imminent, and I think they want to let this play out a little bit longer.
So I get the vibe, sort of, from everything I read and hear, that if there's going to be a primary catcher with those two, Rodriguez and Davis, it's going to be Rodriguez, and that Davis would be the guy to get moved. How do you read that situation? How is that all going to play out, and when?
That's not the sense I get, Joe. I think they would probably rather move Andy than they would Henry, honestly, just because I think he adds more value to those other positions. And I think they're kicking the can here because they probably don't know at this point who truly is going to take over and become an everyday catcher. They've both had flaws. I mean, they're both really good in ways, too. I mean, the arms are incredible. Especially Davis, he's got the edge there. Rodriguez is incredibly athletic, but they've struggled with things that's normal for young catchers, you know, blocking balls, calling games, pitch framing, that sort of deal. They're not finished products. So I think they want to sort of, I don't know, two dogs, one bone sort of situation in AAA and see who takes it over. And that's why I said I think it'll be a couple weeks. And I don't think you're going to make that determination in a couple weeks, but you know, I just think there's a lot of this story left to be written on who ultimately takes over at catcher. But the people I've talked to, it's either, you know, we don't know, or it's probably easier to set Henry down there and then bounce Andy around because I think he's more comfortable at other positions than Henry is in right field.
But who's the better defensive catcher? That, to me, that's the more important question.
Well, I agree with you, but I don't think they know. I don't, you know, and I don't think they should know. Like, there's just not enough information gained. We're talking about evaluating Henry Davis's defense. He hasn't played a game at AAA. I'd like to see more of that. You know, they're still very much in the developmental stages as far as their defense. And that doesn't mean they can't come up and contribute with the bat. I'm not saying that. But, you know, it's hard to make a determination on who's going to be the better defensive catcher when we're still in the middle of it.
I got asked this on my intergalactically read Post-Gazette mailbag. People from here to Uranus are just glued to this thing, Jason. And that was, if the trade deadline was this weekend, would you try to bring in a pitcher or another bat? And who are you trading? Would you care to answer that?
I will care to answer that. Here's where I fall on that stuff, Joe. And I think I'd probably go with a pitcher. I think in those sort of situations, especially given their pitching depth, they don't have a ton. I'd feel much better about that. At least with a bat, I can maybe hope that I get something from Andy, Henry, somebody the second half of the year, or they just figure it out. So I'm going to take the pitcher. Now, who they trade, I'd like to know a little bit more before the deadline. Like the first base situation, I might deal from that. If I can get G-Man Choi some playing time, I might be willing to trade him. if I've got a taker on Connor Joe, I might be willing to trade him. I would not, and this will probably rankle some people, I don't care, I would not move Austin Hedges. I think there's value there. I don't know if anybody would want him, but I want him around Henry and Endy when they come up. I think he has a lot to offer young catchers from a defensive standpoint. So, you know, I look at those guys. I look at Choi's health. Other than that, you know what, Joe? I mean, where I come down on their trade deadline stuff, if they did nothing, I'd be okay with it. What I don't want them to do is be like two games out of first place and start talking about 2024 and why they think these trades make sense. But don't do that to people. If you're close, at least stand pat.
All right, there's 55 days until the trade deadline. I did the math today. The Pirates will be in first place or within blank games of first place 55 days from now. Jason?
So you're asking me to stake my cushion or how close I think they're going to be. I will say they're within a half dozen games of first place by the trade deadline.
Man, that would be an interesting number, because it would be a little more difficult to justify making a significant baseball deal where you give up assets if you're six games out. Well, maybe what's that number for you, and what do you think it is for the Pirates? I was trying to figure that out today, how I define that, both with first place in the division and in terms of the wild card. Like, how close do you have to be willing to sacrifice maybe a prospect to get somebody in here?
I don't think they would have a problem sacrificing the prospect, depending on the level of prospect, Joe. Like, and from where they come. And this is what I mean by that. If they get in a situation where they can add pitching for, like, Cal Mitchell, I think they do that deal. I don't know if that will present itself. I think what they're asking, or what they need to answer, is what do we do with Rich Hill? What do we do with Carlos Santana? Like, you can flip those guys and get something for them. You can. It might not be great, but you can cash that in and get a prospect. And in typical Pirates seasons, that deal would be a no-brainer. Of course you're going to do that. But if you're within six games of first place, you probably don't do that deal. Anybody you pick up is going to look like that. Like, you're just going to keep that salary. And to me, that's what we need to learn. We need to have more information on G-Man Choi when he comes back. Because, I mean, if he comes back and is legitimate, maybe you can send Choi and his salary off, or maybe you keep Choi and send Santana off. I would prefer the first one. I don't want to get rid of Santana, but I'm just saying you can sort of get more, you can explore a little bit more if you got guys healthy.
Thank you, Jason.
Thank you, Joe. Have an incredible day.
You too. Thank you. What if we reach the point, Sean, don't call me Seth Meyers, where it really was just a normal everyday part of the lexicon?
You would become even more world famous than you already are at that point.
It kind of is. Like, he said that very matter-of-factly, and it made me laugh, but it sounded normal. I've had people walk up to me at sporting events, youth sporting events, where my daughter's playing, and just say, hey, that game last night was incredulent, or this is, or that is incredulent. That, it felt normal. And I really feel like we will have arrived when that can happen regularly. You?
Yeah, no, I agree. Now, the question is, if someone pronounces it wrong when they come up to you, do you correct
it?
I
think it's okay.
Yeah.
I think we're going to try to establish that with Shelty today. Have you used it outside of the office yet?
Yeah, I've used it on a few broadcasts.
What? In what form? And where's the tape?
Oh, it's been a while. Honestly, I think it's when I was working, when Folsey was out around Christmas time, and you're using it. I think I used it on a couple of basketball broadcasts back then.
College? High school? What?
I believe one was a high school girls basketball game, if I recall.
That shot was incredulent, did you say? Something like that?
Something along those lines, yes. I think it was a big hit.
I'm touched to hear that. I am. And proud of you as well, that you're using it out in the world. You're brave enough to go out into the world and use that word. And I think Shelty has made a lot of people braver now.
Do you think Folsey uses it in public?
Yeah. I also think in private. I think that may become literally a household word for
teaching
Folsey.
His little baby, that'll be the first word.
That might be a tough one for the first word. But maybe the baby pronounces it better than Shelty did. But who am I to complain? I mean, the manager of the Pirates brought the, we really birthed the word in
as long as they keep winning, I think he'll keep saying it.
Well, that's one of my first questions for him is, do you plan on saying it again? And next time, pronouncing it right. All right, Seth, don't call me Sean Myers, or however that saying goes. I've got a treat for you next. Crowley, who started the boycott in crinkulant movement today, which only gives it more, juice. It's like the other day, you know, sometimes they want us now to do some advertising on our Twitter page. So for Omaha Steaks, I did a little video where I'm opening Omaha Steaks at my house, and then Ed Bouchette had to subtweet. Haven't heard from him in a while. And, of course, nothing good. He has to come in and say, I block people who advertise on Twitter. Something like that. To which I should have just responded, thank you, Ed, for delivering this message to your 80,000, however many, followers, right? Why does that have to come in and do that? Sean, don't call me Seth Myers. Huh?
I don't know. He's a plum guy, too, much like myself. So maybe I'll run into him and bring that up.
Bring it up if you do. But all that, no publicity is bad publicity, whether it's Omaha Steaks or whether it's the word in crinkulant. Just keep promoting it out there. Shelty at noon. Coming up next, speaking of Crowley, the reason I mentioned Crowley is everybody in the world has heard Narduzzi call into the station and rip Crowley, except for me, I think. So I'm going to play it next for myself. But if you haven't heard it, you'll get to hear it. And if you have, it sounds like the type of thing you'd want to hear over and over again. Have you heard it yet?
Yeah, I was listening through. I didn't hear the very end of it, but I heard about a minute of it.
We're going to play that for you next. We have a time, of course, now on the Backyard Brawl. So why don't we talk about that for a moment?
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track 4 games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.